Yeah, it's about time, bring things to a close on a jazzy note, as we often do. Last up was a track from Sarava Soul. That's an Anglo-Brazilian group out of London. That was the instrumental Homesick. And it was preceded by some new-ish Swedish Afro-flavored funk. Sophie Hellborg is the artist. Elsewhere on her album, she has assistance from the percussion legend Tony Allen. And we checked out the track It's Okay Now, as well as the part two of War. Everybody in the studio was like, oh, what is that? That sounds really familiar. getting spaced out in the space plane.
That makes me, approve of War. The band,
yes. We have to clarify that. Earlier in the show, I went through a whole little set of early drum machine tracks. Not exclusively drum machines. Often back in the day, they would drum on top of the drum machines, but give it that certain kind of flavor. We had some tracks. Eddie Harris from 75, Undisputed Truth, and Shuggie Otis from 74.
You got your hand?
Temptations from 73, Norman Whitfield, rest in peace. And going all the way back to the Little Sister track, Stanga, from 1971. That's a Sly Stone production. Little Sister, at least one of, I think it's a duo, and what one of the sisters is actually a sister or a relative of some sort of Sly Stone. So anyway, that's, I think, not the first recorded track with a drum machine, but maybe the first one that had national distribution or something.
What year was it?
71.
Oh.
Now, according to my research, one of the Gibb brothers, Bee Gees, separated from the group in the late 60s and went off and did a solo thing, and he had a 45. He had a single release that may have been the first actual recording with a drum machine on.
Well, what's his face? You know, Raymond Scott used electronic sounds to make drums. He made them out of white noise. But it was the drum machines in the 50s.
Okay.
Arguably.
And some of the earliest drum machines that made, like, what I guess what we would associate with as drum machine sounds, didn't actually, like, make them in sequence. Like, it was just, like, you would hit the buttons or pads or whatever and make the beat. And then they started building in the pattern-based ones into Hammond organs.
Fresh,
and
Sly and the Family Stone. Yep. Do you know what year that was? Because that might have been 71. It could be 71.
There's a riot going on with 71. Family Affair.
Fresh
and
after
all,
that?
I think so, yeah. It was after that. I think riot was before.
That had the drum machine on it.
Yep. So way before hip-hop, the drum machine made its entrance.
Yeah, not much to add on that discussion.
Well, let's move it along to something else.
Yeah. Everything I played.
What else?
Drum machines and samples. Let's see. Yeah, don't forget a sample moment we did.
Yeah. Speaking of Sly Stone.
That's one that we kind of beat to death on tour last time we went to Europe. It worked so well, we just kept bringing it.
It had a lot of life to it.
Yeah, we definitely gotta pick something else for the next tour, which we're hoping to set up
next
year. May 2009. So if anyone is interested, start contacting us and we'll take it from there. A lot of 90s hip hop, and what we should highlight is we got a little Canadian Montreal specifically a set. We're featuring, of course, Tony Ezzy, who's right here with us in the studio.
With his bad self. Oh, and don't forget to check the archives for my show, spaceplaneckut.ca. Bottom right-hand corner of the programming grid. Approximately every 2 weeks, and the show starts about 15 minutes late. That's how time flows after 4 a.m. Yeah.
The space-time continuum.
Yeah, or space-time, but no continuum. Not like this show. This show's tight.
We started late, though.
Oh, did you?
We ran them by clockwork, but it was late clockwork.
Yes.
That movie.
Other than studio guests tonight, of course, Corey Edwards. He's always on some French poetic kind of That tip.
Yeah, and orchestral too.
We played a track from another Montreal group, the latest kind of incarnation of the group formerly known as Attached Tattoo. A lot of you might know it's now Pays Play, PAYZ PLAY. And yeah, that sounds really nice. It's kind of 80s funk electro.
Yeah, I'm feeling that
production
sound a lot.
It reminds me a bit of Chromeo, with whom actually I'm doing a show with Chromeo, just a Red Bull, big Red Bull show at Olympia. Tickets are selling out fast. That's happening October 10th. That's Friday. I'll be taking the night off WeFunk, and the lineup is Chromeo, Jamie Lydell, myself, Scratch Bastard, Kelvin Harris, I believe, and a couple other people. It's a big show that's touring across Canada. Make sure you check that out. This Tuesday, you can check me out at Academy Club. It's another installment of Make Rent. It's a monthly battle. They do $300 cash prize for first place, and I'll be laying down the heavy, heavy B-boy tracks. So check that out. 4445 Saint Laurent, Tuesday.
Yeah, shout out to DJ Kobal. I had the pleasure of playing with him over at Throwdown Tuesdays at Academy earlier this week. The Dennis Coffee that I played, version of It's Your Thing that I played tonight, that was inspired by his selections. Yeah, some rough funk right there.
We definitely have to get him there real soon.
Yeah, his Fridays are free, so I think we'll see him, or you'll hear him on WeFunk very soon, I hope.
Yeah, so Soca Sessions, get ready to set it off. We're gone for another week. Last words, Tony.
Baseball!
MySpace information, however. Something
yeah,
for Earthlings.
You know, you could Google my name and see lots of incriminating things. I think they are off YouTube now, but I shouldn't be talking about it.
Tony Ezzy.
You thought Michael Richards got some heat. Oh, boy. No, I'm just kidding.
E-Z-Z.
But you can Google my name, check out the MySpace stuff, and create a demand for the albums, which exist in my bedroom.
All right, on that note.
On that note, yes, we're out. Another week.
Peace out. WeFunkRadio.com. Thank you.